I'll ask you now tonight, you know, if we're speaking on just the role of the parents to the children, I suppose I could just read out honor thy father and mother and just go from there. Now, I thought about that. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. I mean, if you get down to it, what should the children do? It all is summed up in honor thy father and mother. But I want to expound on that a little bit. And I'm not going to speak as much to the little children as I am to all of us, and how that we should look not only at our parents, but our grandparents, those that came before us, the duties, if you will, or the duty of honor. Now, rather than reading a text verse, I don't have a text verse, we're just going to get into it. I'm going to read a whole chapter. In Jeremiah chapter 35, I'm going to give you a minute to get there. It's 19 verses, and I'll read this out to you. Hopefully without comment. You'll pardon me, I hope, if I mispronounce a name or two. I'm going to try to get what I can right. But this chapter is in the Bible for a reason. And after we read it, then we'll comment somewhat about that duty of honoring our parents. Honoring our parents. It doesn't quit when we turn 13 or 18 or 28 or 88. Chapter 35 of the book of Jeremiah. Now what's going on here? The Lord is trying to teach the children of Israel something, and He's going to give them a lesson. Now we read here, it says, "The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, of king of Judah, saying, Go into the house of the Rechabites, and speak unto them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Then I took Jaazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, and his brethren, and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites. And I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igdaliah, a man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, which was above the chamber of Maaseiah, the son of Shalom, the keeper of the door. And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites," and here's where we really get started in this. "And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups, and I said unto them, Drink ye wine. But they said, We will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, Ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any. But all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers. Thus we have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, and all that he hath charged us to drink no wine in all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in. Neither have we vineyard, nor field, nor seed, but we have dwelt in tents and have obeyed, and have done according to all that Jonadab, our father, commanded us. But it came to pass when Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came up into the land, that we said, Come, let us go to Jerusalem for fear of the army of the Chaldeans and for fear of the army of the Syrians, so we dwell in Jerusalem. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah." Now, I'm going to stop real quick here. Y'all understand what's went on so far. The Lord told him to go offer wine to this family of the Rechabites. And they refused because they said, Our father told us no. And they wasn't talking about their father in this generation. Jonadab lived 300 years before. I'll get to that in a minute. Verse 12, "Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, Will ye not receive instruction to hearken to my words, saith the Lord? The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. For unto this day they drink none, but obey their father's commandments." And that's the thing I'm concentrating on, is obeying the father's commandments. "Notwithstanding, I've spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but you hearken not unto me. And I've sent also unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, Return ye now every man from his evil way, and amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them, and ye shall dwell in the land which I've given to you and to your fathers, but you have not inclined your ear, nor hearkened unto me. Because the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their father, which he commanded them, but this people have not hearkened unto me. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will bring upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them. Because I have spoken unto them, but they have not heard. And I have called unto them, but they have not answered. And Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Because ye have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according unto all that he hath commanded you, therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not want a man to stand before me forever. Now then, let me go into some of the what we've got about this. You need to know who these people are for it to make sense to you. Jonadab the Rechabite is in the scriptures in 1 Kings where early on Jehu, when he was king over Israel, went with Jonadab, and they killed a lot of the worshippers of Baal. But that's not what I really want to get down into. The interesting thing you find about Jonadab, and I'll tell you where you find it, but I'm not going to go and read it to you. You'll find it in 1 Chronicles 2 and 55, if you want to look it up later. 1 Chronicles chapter 2 and verse 55, you'll find in those lineages there that Rechab was a Kenite. Okay, now you're looking at me and saying, so what does that mean? The Kenites were the people of Moses' father-in-law. Y'all remember when Moses invited his father-in-law, he's called Reuel in one place, called Jethro in another. He invited him, why don't you come with us? And he said, no, I'm going to stay with my people. And his people were the Kenites. The Kenites lived close and in and among God's children, but they never actually became part of them. Now, there's a sermon in that I'm not going to go into about living right next to God's people, but never getting in and amongst them. But these were Kenites. Jonadab, the Rechabite, was a Kenite. In other words, he was not a Jew. What God was pointing out was that this person who was not one of His chosen people was more honorable than His own people, because they obeyed what their father set down. Now, the reason I'm bringing this out is because tonight we're talking about honor your father and mother. This is the last thing we're covering on the family. I want you to see how serious God is about this. It's not just a matter of the little ones minding mama and daddy when they say, put that down and go to bed. Now, I believe that ought to be done. And we covered that. And I believe that every person that's in their mother's and father's house, and y'all know that by the time you hit 13, I start thinking of, I don't think a 13 or 14 year old or a kid anymore. They're a young man and a young woman. But even at that age, I believe that you ought to honor your father and mother. But I believe it keeps going. When you turn 18 and you or 19 or whenever it is, and you move away from home, I believe you still have a duty, according to Scripture, to honor your father and mother. It's not just something for the kids, is what I'm saying. And what we just read here is a story about a family where one man sat down to his sons, apparently, because, I mean, he couldn't have spoke 300 years later, so he had to spoke to his sons first and said, look, this is the way it's going to be with us. We're not going to drink any wine. We're not going to own a home. We're not going to do any of these things. Now, look, none of these things would have got him saved, would it? But he set down some things that we're not going to do. And his children honored it, and they passed it on to their children. 300 years? That's remarkable. We're about 240 years from the foundation of this nation. And they were 300 years from that man that told them that they weren't going to own a home. They still didn't. Because they honored what was set down before them, God honored them. Remember that last thing that I read out? And I'll read that last verse again that Jeremiah called out to them. He said, Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not want a man to stand before me forever. In other words, even though all this destruction was about to come on, he said, your house is going to be safe. You're always going to have, some of your sons are always going to be in my presence. In other words, going to be with my people. God honored them. This thing of honoring father and mother goes beyond simply obedience. It goes beyond obeying the direct commands of the father and mother as a child. I believe it includes that. I believe that's just the bare minimum. That's where you start at. But it goes into honoring their wishes, their wants, their desires, and the things they've laid out for you. I think I'm reaching that age anyhow where, you know, your father gets smarter as you get older. And I'm reaching that age where my father's a genius now. Where that I find so many things that he taught me that I just wish I'd listened. I believe that God's favor is upon the man or woman that will listen to their parents. And here's why. God set you under those parents. He gave you to those parents from the time you were born. He knew who to give you to. Don't ask me how. I don't understand how God thinks. He's way above me. But He knew who to give you to. He knew who your parents were. He knew every flaw they had. He knew everything that they were wrong about, and He gave you to them anyhow. And He gave you to them for you to learn under. And if you'll learn under them, He'll bless you. You know, that's what it means when Paul says, honor thy father and mother is the first commandment with promise. When you start reading the Ten Commandments, honor thy father and mother is the first one that has any promise associated with it. Does anybody know what that promise is? What's the promise associated with that, with honor thy father and mother? That thy days may be long upon the land. In other words, there's long life associated with it. You ought to know that. There's a promise for that. Honoring, I think, goes beyond obedience. And I think it goes beyond simply honoring their wishes and desires. I believe it also goes to honoring the very person they are. And here, let me carry you over real quickly. We're not going to spend a long time tonight. I'm going to carry you over to 1 Timothy. And we've been in this scripture a couple of times recently, men in Sunday school, and we've been in, I think we were in this last Sunday night, just the last time we were in here, 1 Timothy in chapter 5, where it was speaking of the widows. And again, where the church takes care of this one, doesn't take care of that one, these are ones that are widows indeed, and so forth. She says something in here. Says first in verse 4, says, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now that takes out any doubt. Okay, that means that if you're grown and your mother is a widow, that you are the one who's responsible for her first. Before the government, before the church, before anybody. You are. Verse 8 really nails it down. Says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. How bad is it before God if you dishonor, disassociate, and refuse to have anything to do with your mother and father? Has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So then our bond with our parents has to be strong indeed. Now, there's a lot of questions that people come up with. What if my parents are not Christians? Well, you're not there to save their soul. You're there to honor them. There's a difference. You can still honor them. You can still tell them I love you. You can still say Happy Father's Day and Happy Mother's Day. You can still say, here, I'll get the light bill. You know, you can do things. There's things you can do even if they refuse to hear you speak of God. You can say, well, what if they're telling me to do something that's wrong? Are you in their house? It's the first thing I'd ask you. Are you in their house? Obey them. That's what the Bible says. You're not in their house. Did they command you? Did they tell you or ask you to do something that's against the Word of God? If not, go ahead and try to honor them. Do your best. Do your best. If they're trying to get you to do something that is against the Word of God, you know that God, your Heavenly Father, is your first Father. And so you honor Him first. But that's not something that happens often anyhow, is it? Not really. Really, honoring our parents is something that honoring our parents is something that it should be basic to us. And I'm going to stop soon here or I'm going to start rambling. This should be one of those fundamental things to any Christian, is that we seek the welfare of our mother and father. We seek that their name be clean. That means you don't tell bad things about your parents, do you? You'll right? Not on Facebook either. Right? In today's world of social media, it's amazing how everybody loves to badmouth. Y'all, if you honor your father and mother, you never, never, never badmouth your own family in public. Never. Not to your friends, not on Instagram, not anywhere. You never badmouth your own family. That don't mean that you sit there and pretend that they're perfect, and it don't mean that you tell lies on how good they are. But you don't badmouth. You honor them. You do as much as you can, you do according to their wishes, as much as you can. And when they can't take care of themselves, you take care of them as best you can for them. I think that'd about cover it, wouldn't it? That's kind of a plateful there. I could go on just to fill up the time, but I think that's enough. I think this thing of honoring our parents. Now, what if your parents are dead? You can honor their memory. You can still honor their name by not making your name foul. You can still honor their name by teaching your children and grandchildren what you were taught. Isn't that what Jonadab's family had done? If they made it 300 years, there was some teaching going on somewhere. They might have lived to be old, but they didn't live to be 300 years old. So you can still honor your mother and father even if they've passed on. Teach the things you've been taught. Keep your name clean. Keep their name clean. As much as you can, do the things that they wanted you to be able to do. I'm going to end it there. It's one of the shortest nights we've had. But you get one here and there. I told you I was going to go from here into the doctrines of the church. We won't go immediately. I've got to have a little bit of time to assemble that. But at this point, I'm closing out everything on the teachings of the family. We spoke of the husbands, the wives, spoke of marriage, we spoke of children. And there was a reason for all of this. The family is the unit that God builds with. He builds churches out of families. The community and the nation are all built around the church. If your families are strong, everything else will follow. Everything else will be all right. We'll go into the church here pretty soon in a couple of weeks. Does anybody have any questions before we go? Any comments? Okay. We'll just close it out in prayer and we'll end it. Brother Ronald, would you close us out in prayer?
Father, we come again.